You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
But first up, today is International Women's Day. This year's theme is Be Bold for Change, where women, men and non-binary people are being called on to take bold action in forging a more gender-inclusive world. We're joined in the studio by two lovely ladies, Carol Beaumont from the National Council for Women and Pru Kapua from the Māori Women's Welfare League. How are you both doing?
Kia ora, I'm doing very well, thank you, Shamina.
Awesome. Kia ora, great, and happy International Women's Day.
Yeah. Pretty shitty weather for it, unfortunately.
It is indeed.
It's true.
But, you know, we will carry on. You've got some activity happening down.
Sadly, the weather has cancelled the event at lunchtime, which is really disappointing because there was going to be some great women acknowledged for their contributions.
Yeah.
And some very good presentations to be given, sadly. But no, it's been cancelled.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hopefully we can try do it justice and cover some of the important issues on the show today. So to start with, let's talk about research that's just come out this week, which shows 80% of the gender pay gap is due to conscious and unconscious bias against women in the workplace. I don't know about you two, but this did not come as a surprise to me at all. How about you, Prue? What was your take on it?
Well, I think, I mean, as you say, it's not a surprise. Perhaps sometimes you think it's a surprise that it's even up. It's not higher than that from time to time. But, you know, I guess we've known for a long time that we've had these disparities. It's good to know that we're looking at a whole lot of the conditions that bring it about. People have used one or two conditions over the years to say, you know, it's about us having children or it's about particular things of whether we are assertive enough, etc. So it's really good to know that we're now looking at really the systemic things that are affecting us.
Absolutely. What was your take on it, Carol?
Well, unsurprising and important to keep reinforcing, but I would say that there's quite a bit of information about the gender pay gap already, and the fact of the matter is we know it exists. There was a piece of research just last week which showed that the gender pay gap was even worse for parents. Mm. Again, unsurprising because you do get a number of those other elements around time out of the workforce or part-time, full-time work. But we know there's a problem. I think we've known there's a problem for quite a long time. I mean, I think it's pretty appalling that, you know, in 1972 we passed the Equal Pay Act and still men and women are not getting paid the same rate of pay for exactly the same job. And again, there's plenty of evidence of that, let alone the fact that the occupations that women occupy are so undervalued that, you know, groups that are doing really important work, whether it be in the aged care sector or disability services or school support or whatever, are just being, you know, paid too poorly for what they're doing because it's just seen as natural women's work. And again, that's a form of discrimination. So, you know, look, research is important and I'm not undermining it, but let's recognise we know there's a problem and get on and look at some solutions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're totally right that it's, you know, legislation isn't just the only thing that we need to do, that there are actually other things that need to be tackled. And also, going on from what you said, Prue, as well, is that I think it's just such important evidence in the way that it debunks a commonly touted solution for gender inequality in the workplace that women should just be brave and just ask for more pay. You know, that will solve the problem when actually it just goes so much more beyond that,
absolutely,
right?
And for Māori women and Pacific women as well, you know, we're talking about the disparity between men and women. Well, it's even worse for Māori and Pacific women because we're talking about an even lesser level in terms of value of the work and just in terms of the opportunity to be in the situation to be able to work. So, you know, we've got a lot of issues that we need to tackle around this.
I totally agree with that. And the, you know, the double discrimination factor comes into play there. I mean, and the gaps are quite significant between the gender pay gap for Pākehā women versus Māori versus Pacifica women. So it's absolutely right. And this isn't about people being brave enough to, as you say, Shamina, not about people being brave enough to ask for better pay. So, you know, we need to do some things, and law is definitely part of it. I didn't want to give any incense that that isn't part of it, because it really is, and there will be some legal changes made. And being frank, So is collective bargaining.
Yep.
You know, actually all of the evidence shows, particularly, you know, for women in lower paid work, but not solely, that, you know, you start to reduce the gaps through collective bargaining versus women one on one trying to change pay rates. So, you know, a better role for unions who have been trying, I have to say, pretty hard in this space already would make a difference.
Totally. Do we see any other sorts of types of solutions in being able to fix that problem?
Well, I mean, you know, when we talk about the be bold, you know, there are things that we can do. I think for women, we do it better collectively.
Yeah.
And that we should be challenging, you know, in every sphere of work. And operation, we have situations that arise where people look at and say, for example, if you get people appointed, particularly to public companies, and they're all men, you know, we have to get to a point where we're not afraid to challenge it. So yes, we can have the legislative, we can have the penalties, we can have enforcement issues, we can have the unions, which, I mean, we've got to acknowledge that if we're talking about International Women's Day, that's where, you know, the basis for that came. So if we can get all of those things in place, but actually collectively as women's organisations, we need to be more upfront, we need to be challenging, not leaving it to the women who have either applied or been in the position where they've been discriminated against. We have to do it collectively. And I think, you know, it takes a lot of resources and it takes a lot of time and effort to do it, but we've just got to remain vigilant.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that also speaks to how, I don't know, sometimes people's individual experiences, that almost gets in the way of actually having that collective change, because I hear people, you know, they say, well, I've never experienced, you know, gender bias in the workplace. I've always had a fine time, but, you know, that kind of reveals their own particular privileges that may exist. So absolutely, you're right. I think that collective mindset in addressing these issues is just super, super crucial.
I think actually, on an optimistic note, that I think there's a real clamour for change at the moment. I feel optimistic. You know, I only look at the things like those global marches, the global women's marches in January. I mean, just, you know, in a very short space of time, all around the world, heaps of people took to the streets about issues of discrimination and respect and concern that, you know, we were going backwards in some of these areas. And I think, you know, Prue's absolutely right. A collective voice, a real strength in the community to say, actually, this is no longer acceptable and it's not good for any of us. It's not just that, you know, discrimination against women is bad for women. It's bad for their families. It's bad for men and women, actually, that we have such, you know, still, in this day and age, we still have tight role stereotyping. Mm. And frankly, it's not good for men that the kind of rape culture that exists means that, you know, young men like those ones at Wellington College most recently, or Roastbusters or whatever, think that's what is an appropriate way to, you know, relate to somebody else. Because actually, you know, we all know it's not, and if that's their mindset, then there's a real problem for us all, actually. So, you know, if we want to have decent relationships between people, if we want to actually all have choices in our lives, then getting this sorted once and for all is really, really important.
For sure, I mean, so, did you have something to add?
Oh, no, I was just going to say your comment about people who say it's never happened to me. I mean, that's been a common issue for a long period of time. People who have been in situations where they don't even realise, you know, more often than not, till it's too late, that they've, you know, they go into situations. I mean, you just look at an area like law. And, you know, when I was here many, many years ago, we still had more women coming through the law school and graduating, and we still, even these years down the track, 30 years down the track, we still have a huge discrepancy between those who are within the decision making. I think that's a really important issue. How we define success, whether it is about being a partner in a law firm or being a judge or whatever, but it's actually being in the decision making role. And we have fewer and fewer women. And you know why does that happen? It's because we have this kind of clone mentality, where you know we bring into our decision-making fold those who are most like us. And for men, that's men. I mean, they feel more comfortable in their own company, and until we actually get a society that says actually that's not good for us all, and that's not good, it's not a good reflection of how we live. And it's the same whether it's a woman, whether it's Māori, whether it's Pacific ethnic groups. You know, we need to have that diversity to ever be able to be anywhere near accepting in society, I think.
Absolutely, because those executive decisions, they then filter down into action of, you know, these various organisations or corporations, how they function, right?
Absolutely.
One thing I'd say, and it's part of the really clear evidence actually about discrimination, is groups like lawyers and accountants. And I heard Katrina McClellan, who I have a lot of respect for, talking about pay equity this morning. I mean, there's enough research now showing that, you know, that in those kind of groups, you know, you get the same qualification 5 years on, male or female, you haven't taken any time out of work to do anything else, you've just been doing your job, and there's already at that stage a disparity in pay between men and women, quite a significant disparity. So that, you know, I totally agree about the decision-making thing, but you can see that's where really quickly, and you see, you know, like at one point it was, you know, well, the women don't have the qualifications. Well, we've actually got more women graduating than men, I think, now in law. Must be close to that in accountancy.
Since 1974.
Right. And yet still, you know, like after they start in those jobs, in a relatively short period of time, you can already see a gender pay gap emerge. And I mean, that can't be put down to anything else than simple discrimination, which may be well because of the people who are making the decisions in those organisations. Yeah. As Prue says, have got a particular worldview.
Absolutely. And so moving on to, so the national focus of International Women's Day today in New Zealand is violence against women, inequality and human rights violation. So this is a major issue in New Zealand. I did find out the other day that we have one of the highest rates of domestic abuse here in New Zealand in the world. So Carol, can you tell me a bit more about the scope of this problem in New Zealand?
Well, it is huge, and the stats, you know, one in three women in their lifetime are likely to experience abuse from an intimate partner. I mean, that's very high, and my understanding is actually the highest in the developed world. So, and it's been, again, it's a problem we've known about for a very long time. You know, Sylvia Cartwright, I can't remember, how was it 2 or 3 decades ago, talked about New Zealand's terrible secret, and it was, you know, supposedly we're this great liberal, peace-loving country, and actually a heap of violence going on in the home. So that's, I mean, it is a sizable problem, and it's one that really we have to have a concerted effort to change, because, you know, the consequences, you know, there are immediate consequences to people of that violence, you know, whether it be physical or mental injury or trauma. But actually, that there's intergenerational consequences of violence. You know, young children seeing their mother beaten, you know, has an intergenerational effect. And so we really do need to do something substantial about this problem. I mean, one piece of good news was that, you know, we're going to have Parliament unanimously supporting a bill around supporting domestic violence victims through workplace activities. That's a nice thing to have happened on International Women's Day, but it needs to be much more comprehensive than that. We need to be looking at cultural change. We need to be looking at the justice system, how the police respond, you know, how we do things in the workplace to support victims, support for, you know, the services that wrap around and help people in those circumstances is a really big picture that we need to be addressing here. And, you know, to make that kind of change takes real commitment and real time and real resource. And it's going to, you know, that's where we really need to be as a country on that issue.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when it was announced the other day that the government is overhauling the domestic abuse legislation, it was still addressed by the minister that, well, that's only part of it, that there's actually still like this cultural change that needs to happen, that we have, you know, these really harmful ideas of how masculinity and femininity interact, and then they have these really unfortunate consequences in, you know, our day-to-day lives as, you know, not just women but men as well. So I feel like, yeah, absolutely, it just goes beyond just that, you know, changing those smaller things to actually this massive cultural shift that kind of needs to happen.
I think, I mean, we have to be mindful of the fact that, you know, it wasn't all that long ago that a man couldn't rape his wife, you know, legally. So, you know, we've got a number of changes that need to be made legislatively, and some of those are occurring. We've been a little lax, I think, in terms of responding to the kinds of issues that are being raised. But I also think, you know, there are huge issues around domestic violence, physical, sexual and emotional. And I agree entirely with Carol, you know, that the effects of that are huge, and the effects are huge in terms of the next generation. But we've actually got some fundamental issues about dysfunction, about families working together, about how we intervene more effectively, how we resource the kind of programs. You know, we've got to acknowledge there's a problem, but we've also got to resource some means by which they can be addressed. And I think, you know, it's all very well to put in place legislative penalties, but if we actually haven't got the community programs in place that are going to assist people in these situations, whether it's the women in terms of women's refuge, I mean, the cut in spending in that area is phenomenal, and yet we say we're making this great move towards addressing violence. Well, you can't do that on one hand and not be resourcing on the other.
Absolutely, yeah, it's like such a crucial part of it. Just because being mindful of time, finally, I just thought it's important to not make this day all about, you know, the kind of doom and gloom of how far we have to go with achieving gender equality, and that we should also use it to celebrate women's achievement. And so just to finish off, I was just wondering if you, either of you, had like some success stories that you're able to share with us of things that you've seen that you're like, yes, we are making progress. We'll start with you, Carol.
Well, pay equity, we are making progress, and very soon there'll be an outcome to a long-standing case started by E2 Union and the nurses around, and Christine Bartlett, around pay for aged care givers, and we'll get some more money for those people as a direct result of that. It's a very large group of women workers, including many Māori and Pacific women, so I'm delighted about that. There will be changes to the Equal Pay Act to better represent being able to take cases like Christine's, where it's about revaluing jobs rather than the same job. That's a success. I'd also say the point I made earlier about, I think there's a mood really to move on this stuff, and you can see it, and I think more and more people are actually saying this is time to get real change around gender issues. So those would be two things I would highlight.
Awesome. How about you, Prue?
I'm struggling to find a lot to be positive about, actually. But, I mean, apart from what Carol's saying, I think we have got a long way to go. I'm quite pleased that this year, for the first time, the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women has an emerging theme of empowerment of Indigenous women. And I think, for me, coming out of a cloak of invisibility and actually dealing with the position of Indigenous women and how we deal with colonisation and how we share those stories, recognise that is a slightly different story from women generally, and that we actually have that exposed. So I think that's a positive thing, and I can see that you know we're starting to get some momentum. To have the UN do it for the first time is a really positive move.
Absolutely. I think it's super crucial to add that nuance to women's experiences, that it's not just this one sort of blanket. Often, you know, in the past has been a white woman's perspective on things, that it's so important to have that nuance of other women, other women's experiences as well. Great. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today. That was Carol Beaumont from the National Council for Women and Pru Kapua from the Māori Women's Welfare League. Have a great rest of your International Women's Day.
You too, Shamina. Kia ora.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.